You guys know I'm crazy about Audible because it offers an incredible selection of audiobooks across every genre. As an Audible member, you can choose one title a month to keep from their entire catalog, including the latest bestsellers and new releases. Audible really is the destination for thrilling audio entertainment, with female writers and heroines, celebrity narration, multicast productions with immersive sound design, and traditional audiobooks. Audible has you covered for any type of excitement that you're looking for. In fact, right now I'm listening to The Second Husband by Kate White. New members can try Audible free for 30 days. Visit audible.com/realitylife or text realitylife to 500-500. That's audible.com/realitylife or text realitylife to 500-500.
The amazing Kate Casey.
Bonus episode of Reality Life with Kate Casey. I hope you're prepared because this is going to be a fantastic bonus episode. I scored an interview with Matt Sharp, who created the gem of a show, which is called 90 Day Fiancé. He also does 90 Day Fiancé before the 90 days, 90 days afterwards, the entire franchise, and was thrilled to get a behind-the-scenes look at how the show is made. I also asked my buddy, Aliza Rosen, to review this season of Flipping Out, and the hilarious Ronnie Karam from Watch What Crappens to watch and review Don't Be Tardy, which is also on the Bravo Network. And at the end, we get into a discussion about Ross Dress for Less. So here we go.
With four daughters and two on a dance team, I can tell you we go through a lot of mascara in my house. But I'm crazy about L'Oreal Paris new Panorama Mascara, which catches every lash from corner to corner for maximum volume. If you're looking for a new high-end mascara without breaking the bank, this is yours. The new L'Oreal Paris Panorama Mascara gives you a high-end lash look in a premium gold luxe packaging. I've been using it for about 2 weeks now, and I feel like my eye has completely opened up, and the girls are crazy about it too. They've got a tapered brush to catch every lash, one of the best mascara wands that I've ever used. And like I said, this luxe appearance of this gold package, you gotta get it. You can buy Panorama Mascara on Amazon today. L'Oreal Paris new Panorama Mascara. You're going to love it.
Matt Sharp is a genius, and I'm going to tell you why. He has created one of the best shows on television. You guys know that I'm obsessed with the show. It is like a gift that gives, it's a Christmas gift that I get every week on Sundays. And I'm delighted to talk to him. Matt runs Sharp Entertainment, which is a TV production company based in Manhattan. And they have produced hundreds of hours of TV shows for various companies, including many in the reality TV genre. Matt, how are you?
I'm great. How are you, Kate?
Very excited to talk to you. Now, you have created a show called 90 Day Fiancé, which is a series on TLC. It debuted in 2014, and it follows couples who have 90 days to decide to marry before their 90-day K-1 visa expires. You've also created the spinoff show, 90 Day Fiancé Before the 90 Days, which is sort of the precursor to what will then become the 90 Day Fiancé show. It is the best frickin' show. Number one, how'd you come up with this show?
Well, thank you. That's very nice to hear, because I think you're quite the authority. So it was, you know, I would say, you know, 5-6 years ago, there was a news magazine piece that dealt with international love. Specifically, it dealt with men and women in America going on love tours internationally. They would meet people online, and they'd go over, and they'd do these trips internationally and meet these people. And we saw this news magazine piece and thought, and I kind of talked to my development group here and thought, this is really interesting. You know, is there a show here? And we talked it up and down, and eventually we came out with a show, a pitch that we brought around. And I'm forgetting the original title, but it was something, it was not as catchy as 90 Day Fiancé, but it was something like, you know, International Love. And that was not the title, because that's a terrible title. And we brought around the show, and basically it was going to chronicle Americans who've met people online, and as they visited these international relationships and people they fall in love with, you know, actually very similar to Before the 90 Days now. And we went around town to all the different networks and said, you know, here's the show and here's why we think it's going to be great and whatever else. And what was really interesting at the time, all of the female networks looked at the idea and thought it felt too male. And all of the male networks thought it felt too female. So, and that happens a lot when you're developing a show. You bring something out and everyone's like, this is interesting, but it somehow doesn't match what we're doing. So we took it back to the development room and we said, how are we going to make this? Which direction are we going to push this pitch, which often happens. And we really thought about it for a while and eventually, like, you know what, this is going to be a male show. We're going to make this male. We're going to go to the male networks. And so I think we retitled the show at the time. I think that this is the actual title, which was Bachelor Wars Russia.
Oh, boy.
Where we'd follow guys going abroad. Again, we were going to pitch the male networks who were going abroad and, you know, they were meeting women and you're kind of, you know, talking to these people that they had met online and ultimately you're kind of tracking if they fall in love. So we brought this out and to the male networks and they still felt like, you know, anything in this area is going to be too female. So we kind of, you know, we thought about it again and someone in my development department here came in and said, there's something really interesting because every time we talk to people that are doing this, they say, yeah, we go and meet them, da, 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 and then we come back and we do the K-1 where they got to be for 3 months. And we're kind of all like, wait, what's the K-1?
Right.
The K-1 says visa. It's a 90-day visa that actually exists where it's called a fiancé visa where they come to America. And if they're the second they, you know, they're on U.S. soil, they have to be married within 90 days or that person has overstayed their welcome. So we were all kind of like, thank you, television format gods.
Totally.
That's the show. That's really interesting. So then we took it back out and we you know, and it was now 90 Day Fiancé. We brought it around and still got rejected. You know, this is, I think a lot of people associate any sort of international romance with kind of the mail order bride stigma, which this obviously isn't and is not what we were looking to do. But I think there was a lot of kind of, you know, do we, you know, still feeling like this isn't right for us. And so got totally rejected. The project was completely dead. And then the Real Screen, which is the big, you know, a conference that happens in Washington, D.C. every year with people are part of the industry, got together, and I was meeting with my good friend Howard Lee, who's a great executive at TLC, and sitting down with him, and he had never heard the pitch, but I think other people had, and he just asked me, is there anything that you really love, you really believe in? You know, it doesn't matter, whatever you think, just show me what you're most passionate about. And I pulled out this demo reel and I said, this is what I'm most passionate about. Howard watched it and said, I want to buy that.
Oh,
and so
great.
He literally bought it in the room at the Real Screen and then yeah, like 9 months later we premiered.
I believe it because the minute I saw that television show, I thought if this were somebody who was single and I was still single, I would marry this show because it is spectacular. It is so freaking good. And the greatest part about it is the people that you get are so wildly bizarre yet relatable at the same time. And there are a couples that I just thought, I don't know, you couldn't write this because it's so
right. Fantastic.
Yep. Like one of those couples was Chelsea and Ymir. He was the boy bander and of course she was the girl from the Midwest. Like how do you find these people?
Well, we first find for 90 Day, and you know, obviously there are two different franchises with those shows, 90 Day Fiancé and Before the 90 Days, actually Happily Ever After, which is the other one. But with 90 Day, these are people that are very much in the queue for a visa already. So, you know, obviously we make it clear in the show, but these are existing relationships. People have met prior to us ever speaking to them and fallen in love. And we are finding them that once they've already started the K-1 process. And then we look at them, and I think the casting, I think it is unique because, and I think TLC is a great platform for this, that, you know, we always wanted this to be a super authentic, warts and all look at love in this kind of amazing world. Very raw, the producers that we brought in for this, we've got a great team of producers. A lot of them came from the Teen Mom world.
Interesting.
I've always loved that kind of, you know, there's an authenticity to that show too. And we wanted to do something, warts and all, that wasn't just, you know, that didn't just show one side of love. And I've always said, and through every pitch when I was talking about this show, which is we wanted to do a show where I think the best shows are ones where the audience is not black and white, right? It's very easy to tell a story that's black and white. This person's bad. This person's good. You know, this person's ugly. This person's pretty. The best, I think, types of shows are the ones that there's actually a debate on the couches of America, right? Mm-hmm. Like you're sitting next to someone watching the show, you're watching it one way, and the other person sitting next to you is watching it in a completely different way. They might not agree with you. I see it all the time on Twitter with this show, one person saying, oh my gosh, she's totally using him, blah, 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 and someone else is saying on Twitter, actually, I think they're really in love, that this is really cute. And I feel like that's, you know, it's that kind of gray that's in all of our lives that I think really makes this work. And I think the couples that we cast, you know, we're looking for people that are, we're not looking for villains and heroes, and this, we're looking for real people with interesting backgrounds and stories and, you know, potentially interesting situations.
Now, do the couples get paid to be on the show?
The couples get appearance fees.
Okay, got it.
But this is not, and it obviously someone who is an international, that would be illegal to pay someone.
Oh,
you know,
but
they
I
are
see.
Not paid.
Got it.
They would have to have a green card, which they do not. But the American does receive an appearance fee. You know, a customary appearance fee.
Do you have to do background checks on the people? You know,
yes.
Especially the international.
Yeah, of course. We have a big background vetting process for all the couples. You know, and we kind of make case by case evaluations on couples as, you know, we look at them. You know, and for all these people, I mean, I think you look at a background and you say everyone's got. We try to be, you know, we're obviously trying to do the right thing. We want to be open-minded to the fact that everyone's got some sort of history, and I think for all of these, no matter what someone's background is, we never want to, we're not looking to hide anything. It's actually, if anything, we're this is going to be part of the narrative of the show because it's part of their narrative.
And how, what do you think would be the percentage, if you, like a collective percentage of the people involved in the creation of the show or the production of it, that believe the couples will make it in the end? Like, you know, 20 years down the line, 10 years down the line.
Right. Yeah, that's an interesting, well, I mean, so far, I was just thinking about this the other day. I mean, so far, there's an extremely high batting percentage with all of our couples. I can't speak to what's going to happen in 10 years or 20 years, but certainly, I mean, I this is not the exact statistic, but I think like over 90% of our couples are still together at least. So I think that's interesting. I mean, I think it speaks to, the nature of love. And I think it speaks to, you know, how people fall in love today. And, you know, this kind of taps into that. But I think, listen, I mean, you know, in 20 years, I think a lot of there's a lot of real love in this show. And I would expect that many of them that are together today will still be together.
Now, how often are you ever concerned with the cameraman's safety? Because like before 90 days when, you know, Carini almost got, you know, murdered by a man with a machete, I was a little bit like, if my loved one was in the camera crew on this project, I might ask them to return quickly.
That's a great point. I mean, we're never, ever knowingly putting any of our crew into harm's way. Like, it's not like, hey, we're going to go somewhere that's super dangerous. If there's any sort of risk, and of course, any country you go to, you can look on various websites and say there's an elevated chance of, you know, crime in this country, whatever else. And of course, you know, we look at all those situations case by case. We make sure that we're taking every precaution we can and making sure that everyone on our crew is informed. That particular situation was crazy, and kind of a you know, I mean, you saw what you saw on television is exactly how that went down, which is Paul got up, went to, you know, kind of just, he kind of went off on his own and he was followed and that happened. And I think, you know, obviously there's certain parts of Brazil that are really dangerous. And thank God no one was hurt. And we obviously spoke to everyone with the crew and, you know, kind of talked it all out and made sure everyone felt, you know, comfortable and safe, you know, continuing. But listen, I mean, obviously you can't mitigate against every risk, but we try and I think for the most part have been really, really successful in that.
Matt, if you don't get an Emmy for that episode, I am going to burn someone's house down. That was the best episode. Oh my God. Okay. So here's another question. Yeah. What can you answer? What is the secret behind Alexander and Josh's baby? Why are they keeping the baby shrouded in secrecy?
I cannot answer that. I think it's interesting that people are talking a lot about that, but in the last couple of weeks that's been around, either way, I mean, the boring answer is I don't think there's any reason, I guess we shouldn't go into that.
Okay. Of all the people that you've filmed on the show, who's the biggest headache and who's the biggest delight?
They're all delights.
Like Anfisa, does she drive you up the wall?
So Anfisa's great. I mean, listen, I think Anfisa's story is really fascinating. Because, and I don't know how closely you follow the Twitter reaction to everything, but obviously.
Of course I do. And they live, by the way, they're shopping maybe 2 miles from my house.
You got to go over there.
I know. Well, I asked her to.
Pick up something for Anfisa.
Well, I asked her if she wanted to come on my show, and she asked me how much I would pay her. And I'm not kidding you. She really did. And I thought, you know what? That sounds about right. Yeah.
So I think it's interesting that if you look at someone, I think, you know, over the course of two seasons of Anfisa, I think she started out, I think many people perceived her as a villain in that relationship. And I think people are really interested in that. And she seemed kind of icy. And that was the reaction that she received. But what's been interesting over the last couple episodes of Happily Ever After, there was this interesting shift where people started to appreciate Anfisa for her candor and honesty in a way that I didn't expect. You know, you see she's really, really honest, you know, to a certain degree. And I think people started appreciating that. And I started seeing the Twitter change and talking about Anfisa's honesty, which I think was really interesting.
That is a good point, and I see what you're saying. A lot of people will, you know, blow sunshine up someone's tail, but she's actually like, yep, I'm going to be completely honest about who I am.
And she's never deviated from that, either on her, like, I mean, I could, we kind of look at her, what she tweets and whatever else, and it's like, that's always kind of been the story, which is like, I never, from the second I got off the plane, I've never deviated from who I am or, you know, why I'm here. And there's, you know, listen, you might not agree with that, but there's something refreshing about the honesty.
Well, it's like The Bachelor, where everybody's like, this is the greatest guy that's ever lived. But then on last week's episode, you have a girl, you know, who's dating a guy in Thailand. And she's like, I like him 90%. And you're like, you know what? I appreciate your honesty.
Right.
Okay. Here are my last two questions. My last two questions are, one, Chris, the guy in who visits Abby in Haiti, will we ever see him again, or will he disappear into television history? Because that guy needs a spinoff.
Okay, he's amazing, right? Yeah, I mean, yes. So, and by the way, tell me who Chris looks like.
Gary Shandling.
Exactly. I'm like, the first time I saw a clip of Chris, I'm like, oh my God, Gary Shandling's on our show. He's amazing. Chris is, listen, I love Chris. There are no plans right now for a Chris spinoff, but obviously we think Chris was great. And again, you know, another person who I think was honest and, and really a compelling character and brought something to that story that, you know, obviously we met Abby and Chris, Abby and Sean first. We didn't really know about Chris, and Chris, all of a sudden, Chris kind of shows up in the storyline, which was a great bonus to that story. And I agree with you. He was an amazing part of the season.
I mean, that is just this again. I can't talk enough about how gold this is. Okay, my last question is, what do we have to look forward to? Not just 90 days before 90 days, but this new season, which is already treating me right on Sunday. So,
okay, good.
What do we have to look forward to? Give me the scoop.
Yeah, I mean, listen, I think it's a great cast of characters, and there are. There's a variety of storylines in this season. We obviously look at, when we're looking at cast for various seasons, we're looking at stories that we've covered in previous seasons, what types of stories. And again, what we see people as, here's this person, we kind of hear their background, and then we say, oh, this story kind of might go this direction, it might go this direction. And honestly, we don't really know. Because again, the show is a process they're going through, and we're following this process, and they're at the helm, and we're along for the ride. So we assume we see certain character types. We do a lot of interviews, and we think that we know potentially where the story is going. And as we recast new seasons, we want those storylines to take us to new, interesting places. And I think we've got a lot of that this season. I mean, Molly and Luis, she's amazing. That's a really interesting story. I think that's, she's obviously bringing Luis over, who is a much younger man. She's bringing him to a house with her daughters, who I think are really conflicted about it. It's mm-hmm. also, it's bringing Luis to the South. Right. Molly's dad is, conservative, traditional, and I think that's going to provide a lot of fireworks. So I think that's great. I think David and Annie is really interesting. You just referenced Annie talking about it like I'm 90%.
Yeah.
And I think, listen, I think this show, what's cool about this show is that it does kind of tap into, we have all these expectations about the meaning of love or the nature of love, right? And it's like, the most conservative notion is that people, you're like, I need to fall in love with the girl I'm at church with, and that's how you
right.
fall in love, the girl.
Right.
And then it's like, it kind of opens up and branches out. Obviously, David has met this woman, Annie, in a foreign country, and I think people will really see there's a different expectation for love in Thailand than the U.S., and there's completely different,
absolutely.
Well, the definition of that, what that means is different in different
mm-hmm.
cultures, and I think that's really interesting. We're going to explore that. We're going to get a lot more into Nicole and Azan love. I don't know if you're a Nicole and Azan fan, but they were...
I like Azan, but I think Nicole is incredibly immature and should probably not have her daughter going to a foreign country. But I understand why the stepfather, who is very creepy himself, or father,
yep.
supported it, because I have children, and to see the granddaughter
yep.
leave would be terrifying.
Totally.
Yeah, so I think everybody...
That it's like... that's why I think people appreciate the show, because that's the kind of storyline that's so true to her and real that it's like, yeah, I'm going to bring my daughter over. And just because you're kind of, hijacking is a strong term, but it's kind of like, I'm taking mm-hmm. my daughter over, and the only other way I'm going to be able to see this guy is if I take her for a long time. I think that's an interesting storyline, and it's something that's, I think true to a lot of parent child dynamics.
So will you do me a favor, when you get an Emmy, will you say my name on stage? Say,
yes.
Kate Casey,
so.
Thank you.
Emmy.
Thank you for bringing this show to the masses, because this is fantastic.
You.
You're doing a great job. I don't want you to stop. I want you to keep creating the show.
I'm going to go right back to the outer room. Keep going right now.
I would like to see 27 seasons of this, much like The Bachelor. And just keep it going forever. Tell everybody where they can find you and how they can see the show.
Okay, thank you. So the show airs Sunday nights on TLC. We're excited. Be there.
Well, how can they find you on social media?
Oh, well, it's sharpentertainment.com, and you know what? I'm not very active on social media. That's embarrassing. I've got to get that going. But if I start that, Kate, will you follow me?
Are you kidding me? You and I are best friends forever. Imagine upgrading your wardrobe with luxury essentials at unbeatable prices. Quince is here to transform the way that you shop with a range of high-quality items priced within reach, like 100% Mongolian cashmere sweaters for $50, organic cotton sweaters, washable silk tops, and timeless 14-karat gold jewelry. And the best part? All Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. By partnering directly with top factories, Quince cuts out the cost of the middleman, and they pass the savings on to us. So I just got a 100% organic cotton tiered maxi skirt in red and a chiffon pleated midi skirt in soft pink. Now I'm going to wear both of them with either a white scoop t-shirt or a black tank top. In fact, wait, should we all get the same outfit and meet for drinks? Indulge in affordable luxury. Go to quince.com/KKC for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/KKC to get free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/KKC.
Eliza Rosen is an independent television and film producer based in Los Angeles. Most recently, she has worked on a spectacular project, which I was incredibly obsessed with and had on my television. In fact, I still have it on my TV because I've watched it approximately 58 times. The Case of JonBenet Ramsey, which premiered to record ratings on CBS this past fall. Holy shit balls. Can we first talk about that?
Yeah, sure.
That was so well done. I was captivated by that. I can't even tell you how many people I told about that one. What was that like? What was that like putting that together?
It was probably the most intense and interesting project I've actually ever been involved with in my long history in television. It was my producing partner on it, who I had met 5 years ago doing another dark show called Killer Profile. He, as you know, he was on air too, Jim Clemente. He's a retired FBI criminal profiler. And so he had told me that, you know, he and his partner, Jim Fitzgerald, who was also in it, who was a forensic linguist, had always been determined to solve the case since they were in the FBI. And with the 20th anniversary last year, it seemed like obviously everybody was going to do something with it, but he called me and said, you know, it's the 20th anniversary and we want to solve the case and we need the resources of TV to do it. So that was really the impetus for putting the show together. And obviously we had a lot of interest once we took it out. CBS ended up being an incredible platform, obviously. You know, the number of viewers was incredible, and just, you know, the amount of marketing and promotion, which you always hope for a show, they really did right by it. Obviously, kudos to CBS for going forward with it and putting the truth out there that, you know, we found. And it was extremely rewarding because we had always said from the beginning that the most important thing is to get justice for JonBenet, and we feel like we really did.
Well, I haven't deleted it off my DVR because after you were sued, I was terrified that I would never get access to it again. Can you access that series if you want to watch it?
I'm pretty sure it's still online. It was online for a really long time. And I also think it was on Amazon as well. So I would check both those places to see if it's still available.
Did your perception of what happened change through the course of filming?
That's a great question. I pretty much kind of went along for the ride. And at one point, we definitely weren't sure if it was Patsy that did it or Burke. And certain things definitely did point to Patsy. Obviously, the ransom note that she wrote was a really big indicator. But after we gathered all of the evidence and it was all presented, I was 100% on board with the theory that the investigators presented, which was that Burke killed her probably by accident and the parents trying to save their son in a moment of panic covered it up. And it really ultimately was a great tragedy. But, you know, they also went to great lengths to ruin a lot of people's lives to protect Burke. And for that, you know, I say unforgivable, because till this day, you know, John still maintains that it was an intruder, and we just proved that that was completely impossible.
Do you think that it's possible that Burke has no memory of that because his parents told him over and over again one story? Like he has no memory of what really transpired that night?
I completely agree with you. I think that they almost brainwashed him to think that he had nothing to do with it. So I think he's extremely confused and probably has repressed that. He said things on Dr. Phil that actually implicated him without him even realizing, which makes me confident that they really convinced him he did not do it.
I agree. What an incredible case. It's so heartbreaking, but it's so believable. I mean, now that I have children, there's a part of me that looks at that case differently, because I do think that when someone's a parent, they will go to extraordinary lengths to protect their child, even if it's not in their best interest.
Yeah, no, I completely agree. And what people didn't realize until maybe our show, but maybe they did, was that John had lost a daughter to a car accident, I think 10 years or 5 or 10 years before JonBenet's death. So he had already lost a child. So here they know JonBenet is dead, and they think, they don't know that Burke would not have gone to jail because he was under 10, but in their minds, they probably think, oh, now we're going to lose three children, you know? And I think you're right, as a parent, you know, also in the moment of panic, I mean, I can't imagine how they were even reacting. You know, they made a horrible decision, and unfortunately one that had terrible repercussions for many, many, many people and years.
Terrible. Anyway, one of the greatest things about you, I met you because I was a guest on your really great series or podcast, and you have fantastic guests. So tell everybody about your podcast just to start off with, because it's fantastic.
Thank you. I loved interviewing you. I think people are going to love your interview. The podcast is called Reality of Reality. You can get it on iTunes. I started the podcast because, you know, I've been in unscripted content for a long time, and I've always been, you know, as somebody who's just always done interviews as a producer, I've always loved talking to people and hearing their stories, and much like you do, you know, in terms of how people got where they are. And I've just always been interested in people's journeys, for lack of a better word. And when I moved to Los Angeles a few years ago, I thought, you know, this is such a great opportunity to meet so many people that I never knew, because I would only come out here to pitch networks, not production companies. So the podcast is really a mix of everybody in Unscripted. I mean, you came on, you were sort of more of a non-traditional guest in the sense that you, you know, sort of a commentator on reality TV. But I have everybody from production company owners to casting executives to network executives to talent. I had a lawyer on, I had an agent on. So I try to really mix it up. But, you know, the qualification for coming on is that you're a great talker and have an interesting story and backstory.
So I would say it's also, if you enjoy reality TV, it's really inside baseball. So it's like pulling back the curtains and learning more about behind the scenes, which is really cool. Especially for someone like myself, who's just fascinated by the inner workings of these television shows. So you do a fantastic job.
Oh, so, thank you. You know, it's such a balance, by the way, because like you are so fascinated by it. But, you know, my parents are like, it's too inside baseball. So I really try to balance, you know, and I realize a lot of times we're dropping names or we're using kind of inside industry terms. And as much as possible, I try to sort of clarify for people that maybe are outside the business, because I do want it to appeal to a larger audience.
So one of the things that we have a bond over is that we both feel like we are so similar to Jeff Lewis. Like, we get him, we know him, and perhaps that's because we're from the East Coast. But I wanted to talk to you about this season of Flipping Out, which has been a really cool season because we've learned more about Jeff's life, and especially about Jenny's life, more so than the other seasons. How are you feeling about the season so far?
I mean, I love it. I don't know when you're dropping this, but we're about to go into the season finale. I really feel like Jeff has grown. Like, this, I've loved seeing the baby and how the baby has affected his life and Gage's life, everybody's lives. It's funny because I've heard him, you know, on the show and even in other interviews, call the baby high needs, which I think is hilarious. You know, I know the baby was colicky the first 3 months, but it sounds like now, almost, I think 10 months in, she's still a piece of work, which, you know, I have a 10-year-old who's a piece of work, so I can relate to that. And I think, you know, look, parenthood changes you in, as you know, remarkable ways. And I think that it's been sort of funny and also sometimes annoying. You know, as somebody who, I have one kid that I birthed, and I was definitely probably a typical first-time parent, but I think in today's day and age with technology and everything you can do, like they're almost too overbearing and over, you know, like over involved, which sometimes drives me nuts just because like now that I'm in the clear of babyhood, I kind of realize like, all right, I could have chilled out a little more. So they're, you know, watching the baby sleep on the monitor and all that is kind of funny, but also like, all right, guys, like you need to live your lives. So, but it's been an interesting season, you know, and the Versailles thing was unbelievable. We could talk about that. And obviously I've seen the documentary. So I wish that storyline would have progressed because God, that, I mean, maybe they're setting it up for next season, but what an unbelievable project. I mean, you can't get anything better than that.
Well, I don't know if he would be able to put up with her husband. I mean, she's definitely Looney Tunes, but I think that the husband is just, he reminded me of my stepfather, just like an incorrigible old guy who has like set in his ways, who has atrocious taste in furniture and clearly in just decor in general, because that weird, what about that weird sex room that they had?
I don't want to know anything about it. It with the whole house, I mean, you know, look, in reality TV, you're always trying to find characters, right? It's character, character, character. You could not find better characters. Obviously, I was one of the gazillion producers after the documentary came out that reached out to her to try to do a series. And I know it was in the works with Bravo for a long time. Do you know if it ever happened?
I don't think so. I mean, yeah. If this episode was any just, you know, just a sense of it, I think that the husband again was probably impossible to work with. She seems fun, a little bit crazy. I don't understand all the posters. I know her daughter passed away, but is there some sort of charity that she started for her? I couldn't understand that.
I couldn't either. I wish they had explained it. That would be my guess also. But do you know how her daughter passed? That's so sad. I know, I heard that too, but I didn't know any of the details.
I can't remember. I'm in fear that it's really
horrible,
dark. I don't know, but
yes, I think you're right about that. Actually, now that I think of it, horrible. So yeah, on a brighter note, I mean, it was just hilarious because, I mean, you really can't get more gaudy taste than they had. And I also find people like that fascinating because they're also, you know, letting the dog shit in the house and just, you know, like complete hot messes. Mm-hmm. And just as a personality study, that's what you pray for with reality characters. And, you know, it's too bad that it didn't play out because, God, that would have been an incredible season. Just him down there trying to do that house.
I do like it when he has really weird clients. He has the one client in Newport Beach who the woman, she seems quite stiff. So she's not as enjoyable. But I do like it when he has in the past seasons where he's had like Brian Austin Green and these random people in the entertainment industry. I always like that because I like to see people outside of the characters they play, like within their real life. I did love all the stuff in the beginning of the season about bringing the baby home. I mean, that is like any married couple. You have one person who's bearing the brunt of all the work, typically, and the other person who's like, just get your shit together. Like, business as usual. And it's easy for the other person to say, but if you're in the thick of things and you're sleep deprived and you're trying to figure out the babysitter and work, it can make you go bananas crazy. So I kept thinking, imagine if one of them had to breastfeed, because you guys, I'm like, you guys are that stressed out now. I'm at throwing breastfeeding into the works. So I totally related to that. And I think that was like an endearing chapter to open up to people, because anybody that's ever had a parent or had to be a parent can relate. I loved the story about Zoila, sabotaging the nanny. I believe that too, because I think that she has some sort of like ownership over him, and it must be really frustrating to have these other people come to the house. And she just seems like this cantankerous old woman. She probably hated that job. She wanted to blow that taco stand a long time ago. What do you think?
She did, as she drove off in her BMW SUV. I mean, can't hate it that much. I actually was really pissed off about Zoila, and I felt like when they did the trial, like guilty, not guilty, which was really funny, and I know Jeff was getting a big kick out of it. It actually was really upsetting because I felt like the things that she said were so horrible you know, that Gage wasn't really her father.
Horrible.
Like, really terrible things. And I feel like Jeff, God bless him, just let it roll off and tried to keep her, you know, like, okay, you could just work on the weekend when no one else is here. And I know that she was like a mother to him or some, you know, some type of figure to him over the years. But that, I don't know. I just felt like I don't like people that manipulate situations and turn things, like, as soon as the heat was on her and she knew she was in hot water, she's the victim. You know, I'm leaving and she's crying. Uh-huh. And it's like a trigger for me. I really hate when people don't own their shit. Thank you, Lisa Rinna. And so I felt like she got off really easy, actually.
I couldn't, if I were Gage and this woman was still in my home, it would be hard for me to get past the fact that she said I was not really the father. It's like, well, I'm the one who's taking care of her. So I don't know what the hell you're talking about. I'm also, you know, listed on her social security card. So I don't know what you're talking about. Horrible. That would be hard for me to get past. What do you think about Vanina leaving?
You know, I can imagine that's not an easy job, right? I mean, like that, I think when, you know, there's always going to be a lot of turnover in a situation like that. And, you know, I just feel like, I mean, how many nannies did they go through? You know what I'm saying? Like it doesn't surprise me. When people leave situation, you know, work situations like that, when you've got a really, really strong person like Jeff, you know, I don't know if you used to watch Rachel Zoe back in the day.
Oh, of course I did.
But yeah, I mean, you know, same thing there. Like, these are people with very exacting standards, high maintenance, OCD, all those things. You know, at a certain point, you're either going to fold into that program like Jenny has or you're not.
Do you think that they fight a lot off camera, Jenny and Jeff?
That's such a good question. I kind of don't. Jenny is a peacemaker. Jenny does not, I don't feel that Jenny wants conflict. And I think she's always the one, even with the Zoe Laveau, when she's like, I knew that was hers. Because she's always trying to, you know, smooth things over. And I think she has a really big heart. So I think she's probably, I think she calls Jeff on his shit. But I feel like generally she's probably conflict avoidant with Jeff. I think Jeff and Gage fight a lot.
Oh, definitely. I always get a kick out of the way Mark Paul Gosselaar's wife works there. And he's always making comments about how ugly she is, considering she's so, I mean, abnormally beautiful. I mean, she should be on a television show. It's bizarre. I mean, she's
Jenny?
Like, no, Mark Paul Gosselaar's wife who works in the office.
Oh, sorry. Right.
I can't remember her name. Gorgeous girl. Yeah. But it always cracks me up. He's like, well, you know, no one wants to look at you because you're so hideous. That stuff makes me laugh. If somebody wants to know what really makes me laugh, it's comments like that.
Right. I mean, Jeff's hysterical. He's got one of the best, you know, senses of humor on any reality show. I mean, Bethany is up there. As we know, we're both Bethany fans.
Yeah. Oh, I just love it. Okay, so if you were to have Jeff do something in your house, which room would you have him do?
Oh, my God. Well, right now we're living in a rental house, so I'd have him do the whole damn house. It's so outdated. I mean, I would love for him to get his hands on every part of this house because it needs such a major update. But, of course, we can't do it because we're renting. But I like his taste. Like, it's interesting. I don't love his Hollywood house right now. In terms of what he's done, like some of the columns, and there's certain things about it that feel a little, I don't know, a little bit gauche or something. But generally, like when he does other people's houses, I do love his taste.
I love his taste. My husband and I have agreed that our next house, we're going to have him do. I think
yes.
He's really good about making the man and the woman, or, you know, both people within the couple happy, like matching both their taste.
Yes, totally. So have you met him?
I haven't, but I feel like I would get along with him quite well. So, you know, we'll see.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Well, tell everybody what you're working on now, because you have a really cool documentary that you're working on, and I want people to know about it.
Oh, yeah. So this is my passion project, my labor of love, whatever you want to call it. It's called Latter-day Jew. And you can see the website and the trailer at latterdayjew.com, like the Latter-day Saint, but Latter-day Jew. It's about a Mormon who grew up poor in the Midwest, gay, comedian, got cancer at age 30, then converted to Judaism. And now at age 35, he's about to become a bar mitzvah boy. So we follow his unbelievable journey. Like, I mean, nothing you've ever seen. It's very fun and entertaining because, as I said, he's a comedian. He's a great character, but it's also super poignant. You'll cry a lot. Also, his bar mitzvah is November 9th in LA. So if people are listening to this and want to come, just contact me through the website and we'll make sure. And I think there's an RSVP on the website too. Everybody is welcome. It's going to be an epic party. Aww. And it's really been great. You know, I'm a development executive mostly now, so I haven't sort of been in the trenches on a show or a film for a really long time. I used to produce documentaries for TV for years. So to be able to get back in the field directing has been really wonderful for me. And, you know, as we head into these last few weeks of filming, it's all hands on deck and it's just been so much fun and I can't wait to get it out into the world.
That's awesome. Okay. And then how else can people find you?
People can find me on, I know I'm the worst on social media. I need like a private tutorial from you. I'm on Twitter at Reality of Real and I'm on Facebook. Just, you know, friend me. I also have a Reality of Reality with Aliza Rosen page on Facebook. And, you know, reach out to me, however. And if any of your fans have amazing shows, I mean, what I do, my specialty is, you know, basically developing shows, putting them together and getting them out into the world. So, you know, don't pitch me anything that anybody could pitch. But if you have amazing characters or amazing access to a world that no one's ever seen, that feels fresh and new, then definitely you know, reach out to me because I'm always interested in new stuff.
I love that. Well, I'm sure people will take you up on that.
Okay. Great.
Well, thank you so much. I love your face.
This episode is brought to you by Saks.com. If you're looking for new style inspiration, Saks.com is the place to go. Saks.com is making it easy for me to shop for the spring with their selection of chic clothes and accessories. Right now, I'm looking at Saks.com so I can find my new going out vibe. I'm looking for a breezy Zimmermann dress for an evening cocktail party. And for my upcoming conference in Los Angeles, I'm looking at bright Chloe blazers because I'm pushing myself to wear more orange and pink. Saks.com will inspire you to shop for everything on your agenda. So find inspiration for your new vibe every day at Saks.com.
Ronnie from Watch What Crappens is a buddy of mine, and he was very kind to take time off from the other Bravo shows to watch a little gem of a show called Don't Be Tardy, starring Kim Zolciak, her husband, Croy, who always has a fake tan, and their 75 children. Welcome, Ronnie.
Hey, how are you?
I'm good. I wanted to talk to you about the episode this week, which was about wigs, polygraphs, and sneaking out of the house.
So, well, I love all of those things.
So let's start from the top. Ariana, let's talk about her briefly. She is the straight A student child. She's had a little bit of a transformation. Have you noticed it?
Yes. Well, I used to watch this show back when it first started. And of course, I know Kim Zolciak from The Real Housewives of Atlanta. So, yeah, this is new to me because I've missed a lot of it. So it's crazy to see all these kids and to see the other kids grown up. Like you see Brielle all the time on Instagram with different faces and shit, but the young kid, whoa, she's really grown up. She's so cute.
She looks so much like her older sister now. It's so odd because they used to look so different. I mean, I know that that comes with age, but I worry sometimes that she just looks a little bit too grown up. Like she's still a kid.
She does look grown up, but at least it's her face. I mean, it's like seeing a natural flower in the Hobby Lobby. It looks weird because everyone else looks so crazy. Like you mentioned Croy's face. Croy, yeah, he gets spray tanned, but he also gets like Ken dolled up. And Kim has like eyelash separators on him now. You know, have you noticed that? He has like those
little
eyelash lashes. I mean, wow. Like that's a family that sticks together.
I would like to see a side-by-side of what Croy looks like in Atlanta, but what Croy would look like if he had still lived in Wyoming. Or wherever he's from, because there's definitely been quite a change. And I did notice at one point in the episode he was wearing, and I know you noticed this, it was like a white button down shirt with like a lady cardigan.
Yeah. 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 Kim basically just dresses him up and I think he looks really cute and he's a pretty good dad. I think
so too.
I was shocked. I was shocked about a lot of things on this show. One of them was that I wasn't really mortified by Brielle's face because I've seen it change so much and so fast. And it looks really scary on Instagram, just seeing children with that much work. But then when I was looking at it on the show, I thought, you know, how did they look at me? Like, how do kids with plastic surgery look at like an older person with just like lines and stuff and a droopy face? They must think I'm terrifying, you know?
I feel sad because I feel, I look at her and just think what tremendous pressure she must feel. She started that show when she was much younger, and no one wants to be on television at that age. All of us were hideous at age 14. And to withstand the comments that people probably make, I think that's a direct result of the what you've seen to her now. And that makes me sad. And I just hope that the other kids don't, you know, go through the same, take the same path. So I just, that's what I get worried about. Although I do have to say, they seem like a tight family unit. They all seem to be pretty happy. The kids seem happy. He seems like a really good dad, don't you think?
It seems like a really good family and everyone's really happy. And there was one part where Croy's getting the boys ready for school. He's like, the good thing about not being signed to a football team right now. And I was like, oh my God, you poor thing. You're going to be broke in a month. Please watch your wallet, because you know Kim's spending all that money. But he's getting all the kids ready and they're in like the laundry room, and there's prison grade soap dispensers and paper towel dispensers. I mean, that's a good parent, where they're just like, all right, we've got a prison set up to wash all of our brood they come in the house.
It reminded me of the sanitizers that you find at like a kid's inflatable jump gym. I know. That was pretty funny. Also, they have security cameras set up in their house like a prison. Like every single room has a camera in it. Is that because they're voyeurs, or they're just hyper paranoid that someone's going to rob them in their gated community in the suburbs of Atlanta, Georgia?
Well, you know, the person who has the best security in their home is someone who's been to prison for stealing shit. Okay.
Oh, okay.
Like, you know that Kim Zolciak, with her rich old man dating ass back in the day, was probably stealing silverware out of houses all over town. And now she's like, no one better steal my silverware, and just has cameras everywhere. It is really weird. What's even weirder is that they watch it every day. I mean, at least according to this episode, it looks like they watch it like a TV show. And Kim does it at a desk. I mean, I never thought anything would be so unsettling, but the sight of Kim Zolciak sitting at a desk, even if it's just to watch like random footage from your cams, it's weird. It felt odd.
It's like, I don't understand people that have mommy cams, and I do have friends that have mommy cams, but their husbands will like watch them during the day to see if their wife's working at home. I think there's nothing good comes out of security cameras.
No way. Part of like growing up is getting away with, it's like learning how to get away with shit. You know, these kids are going to learn how to get around these cameras. They're going to be able to spot them anywhere. They're going to become mastermind criminals because they're going to be able to get out of any situation.
What about their one son, KJ? I feel like he's a narc.
Yes. She was drinking your wine and wearing your wig. Okay, wine and wigs are how you have a mansion. Stop your bitching, okay?
I feel like that kid's going to work for the FBI.
Yeah, snitches get stitches, KJ.
So another thing that I wanted to ask you was about the Tracy, who's their chef. Do you think that she's a kleptomaniac?
I think she's amazing, first of all. I love her. And whatever she steals, she deserves, you know? Like every lady growing up, I grew up in a border town, El Paso, Texas, and everybody had a cleaning lady, you know, that lived behind the laundry room back in the 80s. And I remember like the junior league ladies like, oh, well, so-and-so stole from me. I'm like, what? They stole a couple of forks? They deserve it, okay? That woman deserves whatever she can get out of there. I hope she's going to the store and like buying some cream cheese and just putting it in her purse, you know, like charging extra stuff to them. I mean, that's a lot of kids to raise.
I can't imagine they have anything that she really wants anyway. I mean, what could Kim have in her closet that Tracy would really want?
Exactly. Yeah, she's not the size to steal clothes because she's not the same size as anybody. She already gets to steal whatever food she wants. You know, she obviously takes the wine. I think she's just there for a good time, you know, and to have fun and be a part of a family.
I do like that when they go out of town, they make her babysit, because I do think it's really important to maximize the time that your babysitter or your chef is working at your home. Like, if they're not going to be making grilled cheese sandwiches, you may as well have them like scrub the floors or watch the kids.
Yeah, you're like that boss who's like, you're salaried, you're going to do what I tell you.
Right. What the hell is in the red Solo cup that she's always carrying around?
Well, they all use Solo cups, right? It's like, God forbid, you have a full-time employee there to wash some damn glasses. A Solo cup. I'm guessing it's like Southern Comfort and Diet Coke.
You know, it is strange that one would have Gucci plates purchased off a registry, but then would have a red Solo cup. It's mystifying, but yet it's not surprising at the same time.
Well, Kim was not born rich. You know, she clawed her way, like she clawed up a tree of penises to get where she is. And that girl knows the value of registering for expensive things and putting them in boxes for the next time she's broke.
Now, neither of them, Kim or Croy, talk to their family. What's behind that? Use your degree in armchair psychology. What's going on there?
Well, I have no idea. I would guess the reason for both of those is Kim. that's my first guess, but I don't really know. I mean, Kim was probably that bad kid. He's like, I'm getting a wig and I'm dating, you know, and was like dating all of her mom's or her dad's friends or whatever. She's just that rebellious kid. He's like, F you, mom. And Croy, I really have no idea, because all I know is that he drives Kim around a lot and he's always there. He's like her bag man. He's like, jump in the car, let's drive. He's like baby driver.
Sometimes
so I don't really know. What do you think? You know this gossip more than me.
Well, sometimes I worry that there's a codependency issue, because I saw them watch What Crappens Live and they never unclenched hands. I find that strange. And she's always like making it seem like they bone all the time. And when someone talks about how much they have sex, it makes me wonder if that's actually true. I think that his family is from a very small town in the middle of America, and they're probably somewhat appalled. I think that her mom, it seems to be a little bit of like a nutbag, and the dad just seems like a goof, like just, you know, does whatever the wife says. I feel like there's some weird jealousy issues, because I feel like Kim used to say her mom would always make remarks like jealous remarks. I think there's something very strange.
Well, now I'm remembering the actual story from why the mom doesn't talk to her, because the mom was coming to the wedding. Remember, and Kim was like, you can't come in here. This is roped off. It's all in the backyard. You know, of course, because Kim's like, a backyard wedding, totally normal. Or whatever it was, they couldn't go in certain parts of the house. And she had all these porta potties outside, and she made the mom use the porta potty. And her and her mom
but we need to fight. Dig
Wasn't
deeper.
That the end?
But no, but you got to dig deeper than that. Why would she not want her own mother to urinate in a bathroom in her home? Why would she want her own mother to urinate in a porta potty? There's something deeper. What happened?
You know, Kim was probably conceived in a porta potty in the back of some concert somewhere. You know, there's probably something deep like that. You know, it's probably just a triggering thing.
Well, that's definitely her dad, because she's got her dad's nose. But I feel like there's some weird jealousy issue between the mother and Kim. Like, I feel like Kim has said, like, my mom. Oh, I remember she made a comment about her mother used to charge her to babysit. She's like, mom, can you help me, you know, with Brielle? Because she had Brielle quite young and her mom charged her. So, I mean, that is bananas crazy. So, there's something way off with that lady.
It is. But, you know, Kim's that daughter who doesn't give any money to her parents when she gets rich.
Right. Oh, that's
a feeling,
yeah,
that she's like, okay, you want me to watch those kids? Because Kim's also that friend that you have that's like, hey, will you babysit my kid? I know I'm bugging you, and I know I'm just asking you because you work at home, but it really is only going to be an hour or two while I'm gone. And you do it, and you're like, no problem. And then it's another time that week, and then the next week it's three times that week. And then it's like you're raising a child, basically. So maybe the mom's like,
right. Right.
You are paying me, okay? I'm not getting the rich kid allowance that most moms get when their kids make it.
That is so funny. Yeah, I just remembered that this one woman in Virginia Beach asked me to babysit. She said it was for cancer treatments, but then I found out she went to look at cars. I was like, you're a bitch, and I never babysat for her again.
What is it with
No, this OC? Was in this was in Virginia Beach, Virginia.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
I was like,
my
really?
Listening skills.
I thought you were going to get like some tumor checked out, but you were looking at Chevys like
screw off.
I feel like you need to save your cancer excuse, especially when so many of us in the world get cancer. It's like, it's a horrible thing. And it seems almost like the common cold. I mean, so many people, every family's been touched by it in such a dark, horrible way.
Yeah.
Save that shit up. Don't use that so you can go to like some Build-A-Bear class. Like, what the hell? It's like the girl who cried cancer. There's a real possibility we're going to get cancer one day. You want people to actually be there to help.
No one will help you. I agree. Yeah. What do we have to expect for the rest of the season? Give your prediction.
Just lots of trash. I mean, God, this family really is just a classic American trash with money family, and I like it. I mean, I'm glad to see that they're such a happy big family. And is it weird that a gay guy is like, wow, it's the traditional American family, babies? There is part of me as I watch this show because I'm like, I ain't making them. So I'm glad someone's, you know, making up for those of us who don't have any interest in creating life on this earth.
I will say this. I do think that it's great that they're all in on the joke. I feel like they're in on the joke. Like, Croy's like, I get it. We're all a bunch of fools. Like, I get it. We're insane. And Brielle's like, we're ridiculous. I get it. Like, I feel like they're in on it.
Yeah, they're in on it. And they're also doing things I like rich people doing, like buying their kids old Hondas. You know, like old cars. They're not just starting them out with Jags, you know?
Right, right, right. And I do appreciate the fact that he took the door off the hinges, because I would absolutely do that. And I appreciate the fact that he's the heavy and she's the easy one, because I'm the heavy and my husband's the easy one. So I see a lot of myself in aspects of it. I do not see myself in the wigs or the lips or the bedazzled clothing, but I do. Yeah. I also see myself in the sanitizer. I actually thought about putting one of those in my garage.
Well, I do not need to see myself in a show. I mean, I barely want to see myself when I get out of the shower in the tiny little mirror that came with my apartment. Okay. Like, I do not need to see myself on TV. So I like when people are super different from me. I guess my only prediction for the show would be outrunning bankruptcy probably 10 times in the next 20 years. And so, you know, someone's getting pregnant young, like someone's got to get pregnant. I can't believe Brielle hasn't been pregnant yet, or at least that we've seen.
Well, that's true. I'm going to call a pregnancy from Brazil. Brielle's going to get pregnant. Ariana is going to sneak out a couple times. She won't get her door back. KJ will get a position with some investigative. You know what? They're going to do something where he goes on a ride along in a car, in a police car. Because he wants to be an investigator. I call that. Producers, are you listening to me? And Croy is going to find out that he really enjoys a second career in, like, baking.
Yeah. Oh, my God. That would be so great if he became, like, a pastry chef or something. Okay, I'll add one in there. I think Croy is going to lose his eyelashes at a young age. I just don't think the male... I don't think the male DNA is built... can support lash separation. I just don't think that we've evolved to that point yet.
Okay, I'm going to add another one. I think that Croy's going to get clip-on bangs just to test them out, but they're going to be blue.
And they'll be Zolciak branded. Does she still have her wig company? She does, right?
I'm not sure about that, but I don't know one person that has purchased the cashmere facial product line, but I would like to know someone who has. I would also like to try one of their products out, just kind of see what it's all about, because she explained within like a week of it, it was already a multi-million dollar business, which I find really hard to believe yet fascinated by.
Well, Kim a liar. Kim never tells the truth. Also, who named something cashmere for your skin? No one wants cashmere skin. That's horrible. Do you know how badly that pills? Like, you're going to just walk around with dog hair on your face all day.
But it's also cashmere with a K. Don't you forget. I feel like the K probably has like a really long loopy K, you know, like one of the K's is like a loopy K with like a wink at the end. Yes. That's the logo.
And those two dots on top of it.
The two dots with hearts, maybe. She was definitely the kind of girl in school that wrote Kim, but there was like a heart over the eye.
Yes, but also had like a Sharpie at all times to draw dicks on the bathroom stall and like a knife, like a shank. Did you even get to this episode? I love.
I like it. I love it when I laugh and then I sing at the end because you know it's a good laugh.
Well, people have been asking us on Watch What Crap is why we don't cover certain shows. And like this one, we just don't because it's already so funny. You know, it's like covering a sitcom, trying to make jokes about a sitcom.
Yeah. I agree.
Whatever. So if we don't cover it, I generally don't watch it, you know? So there's a lot of things I just haven't watched. But this show really did crack me up. I loved watching it. It'll probably be the last time I watch it for another 10 years. But I have a feeling she'll be popping up on some channel for the rest of our lives.
I would like for you to, just for shits and giggles, can you get a copy of that taffeta dress she wears in the logo or the, you know, the Don't Be Tardy logo? God. And a wig.
That logo where it's just her doing her housewife pose at the beginning. It's
yes.
Like a cutout of Kim with that Photoshop filter thing. It's not the drop shadow, but it's the one, I forget what they call it, where it makes you look like a piece of plastic.
Yeah.
And it makes it look like a raised sticker. You know what I mean?
I love
it. It's so cheap. It's like the cheapest intro I've ever seen, but it's so fitting for Kim. And I just love it. And I love that she found someone who understands her personality and can translate that in a Photoshop cutout.
She is really entertaining. I gotta tell you, she is really entertaining. She's crazy and really crazy. I don't know. It's a good TV.
And I just like that she still talks like this. Like she never really classed it up much.
Oh, no, she doesn't care. Oh, no, not at all. And I love that her kids are just drop F-bombs all the time. Like she just doesn't care.
She's like, look, we're worried about you, Brielle. We saw you doing homework on Cam. What the hell?
By the way, Brielle's never leaving that house. She will have a baby. She'll be like one of the one of those TLC families that like her baseball husband and her 17 children live in like a wing of the house. They're never leaving Kim and Croy.
Yes. And people can say what they want about Kim, but she has trained her daughter. Okay. That girl is dating that professional baseball player.
Yeah.
She's helping him pick a city. Like that girl is not ever going to get a job again. Okay.
You know what she is? She's the modern day Kathy Hilton.
Yes, but like lower rent. I mean, hotels last, you know, a lot longer than baseball. But
you know, big Kathy Hilton was like, listen, Kyle, Kim, Kathy, small Kathy, little Kathy, you guys need to marry really rich guys because there's not a lot of money in our estate. So make it happen for us. And they all did.
Oh, yeah. Oh my God, that's a whole nother dark drama, that Hilton family, the House of Hilton and all that stuff, and everything that poor Kim went through in her life. Oh Lord, girl.
I know. So good.
Kim is different. You know, Kim has those aspirations, but to her, she is a Hilton right now. Like, she won, Kim. I mean, for now.
For sure. Absolutely.
But yeah, she ain't no Hilton, but she's more like a, you know, like Best Western. Or like a Hojo's. She's more like a Hojo's.
I think
that fits because there's a hoe in the title.
She's like a Best Western with like a woman with a cowboy hat that she's like tipping it off to you.
With she's like the third Best Western.
With like a cowboy outfit on with spurs. Tip of the hat to you. Well,
oh Lord.
A tip of the hat to you, my friend. Tell everybody where they can find you.
Well, tip of the hat to you, my friend. My name is Ronnie Karam, and I'm at Ronnie Karam on Twitter and Instagram. And Watch What Crappens is my podcast I do with Ben Mandelker, and that's 5 days a week. We're on tour right now, so come see us. Our next show is in San Francisco on November 4th, and you can get ticket links. Just go to watchwhatcrappens.com. You'll find all of our info there.
What other cities are you going to?
Well, we haven't announced them yet because we're still confirming details. Girl, doing all this podcast stuff on our own is like for the birds. It's like, okay, contact this person, contact that person. You know, after 3 emails, I need a nap. Like, I'm very lazy. Ben is really, really on top of all this stuff. But we've done New York so far, Chicago, and then we did a big one in L.A. Last month or 2 months ago. And we've got, I think, 4 more cities coming up over the next few months. So we're loving it. But they'll be announced on watchwhatcrappens.com as they come out.
You're taking over the U.S. Now you need to go to over. Now you need to go to Guam.
You know how I would die to do a show in Guam or even Mexico. We're going to a wedding in Mexico next month. I would really love to do a show in Mexico. Do you think anyone in Mexico listens?
Yes, I do.
Now, whenever I go anywhere, I'm like, can we like find a way to do a show here so we can write this all off?
You're in the Albuquerque airport. Can we do something in the smoking lounge?
Totally. Yeah, those Las Vegas smoking rooms with all the nickel machines or whatever. Or the tiki room at Disneyland. I'm down.
There's like an old woman with it like out of Beetlejuice that smokes out of her neck.
Yeah, anybody out there managing a Ross Dress for Less that wants us to do a show from the home section?
Oh, I'll be there. I'm not going to even lie. I'll be there. I'll stay next to the plastic shoes and the Halloween decorations.
Girl, my whole house is done by Ross Dress for Less. It's like the best designer ever.
Do you have seasonal pot holders?
No, but I do have a lot of wooden pot holders like that are for, you know, marijuana pot because it's legal now. And so, like, you know, Ross is always good for like some kind of little wooden box. A print to canvas painting of something ridiculous.
That's true. Or a lampshade that's actually broken.
Yes. They have these ones right now where they're made of tree sticks, like branches and stuff, which I love because my theme in my house is sticks. Mostly because I'm like a crafter. I love a hot glue gun girl. So there's these lamps and they're made out of sticks. And I'm like, this is perfect for my house. And they're all broken off. It's like little bits of glass from other shit that you know that the people sending them were just shoving them in the boxes with terrible vases, you know.
Be honest, the wreath on your front door has a crack pipe in it.
No, I always wanted to do crack because it makes you so thin, but you also lose your teeth. Like, you have to really be careful when
right.
you're choosing
your
dress. Right,
it's like a woman. You have to make sacrifices. You can be skinny with an old face, or you can be fat with a gorgeous face. You have to make sacrifices.
Oh, my God, so funny. I did miles of... Oh, no, I'm going to stop.
Well, good talk. Good talk. I'm going to go and pee now.
Oh, how fun. This was really...
Wait, one more question. Do you have a rug underneath your toilet? Like, are you one of those people that gets, like, the toilet rug?
No. The ones that go that hug your toilet on the bottom. Oh, yeah. I hate those.
What
those,
about...
I call those Meemaw rugs. They're, like, right. those, like, shag. Those polyester shag rugs that hug the bottom of your toilet. No,
or,
ma'am, I do not.
Or covers the toilet top.
Ew. The ones that match. They still sell those at Ross. Those are always there.
Of course they do.
Nothing like a cow print matching toilet outfit.
One time I had an ex and his mom bought me a turtleneck with squirrels on it from Ross. Oh,
so good. Well, so many housewives shop at Ross. You always see like the little chef, you know,
oh,
it's either the
sure.
chef cookie
yeah.
jar or the tin roosters. In the kitchens.
I always felt like Peggy Tanis's style was like vintage Marshalls.
Yes. Yes. You classed her up by taking her to Marshalls, by the way.
Oh, my God. We could talk for hours. All right. Listen, love your face. Love you.
You too.
Love
so
everything
fun.
You do.
Thanks so much for this, Kate.
Whether you need to buy or sell, or you're just obsessed with looking at homes for sale, Redfin's got you covered. Redfin updates their listings every 2 minutes so you can see new homes first. And they give you personalized recommendations based on the homes that you like, so you can find the home that's just right for you, whether that's a cabin, a craftsman, or a castle. With the top-rated Redfin app, you can favorite homes, share listings with others, and schedule tours, and even on the same day, with a local Redfin agent who can help guide you through the whole home buying process. And if you're looking to sell, Redfin agents have the experience to get you the best price possible for your home. That's because they sell twice as many homes as other agents. With a listing fee as low as 1%, Redfin's fees are half of what others often charge, which means you'll have more money to put towards what matters most to you, like your next home. In fact, last year, Redfin saved home sellers $127 million. No matter where you are in your real estate journey, Redfin can help. Download the Redfin app to get started today.
The amazing Kate Casey.
I want to thank my incredible guest this week, Matt Sharp
Aliza Rosen, and Ronnie Karam. I want to remind you to subscribe to the show and leave me a 5-star review. Guys, I'm inching towards 1,000 reviews. Once I'm there, more and more bonus episodes for you. You can go to my website, www.loveandknuckles.com. If you are not going there every week to read my TV recaps, you don't know what you're missing. So go there if you know somebody who's pregnant. I've written a bunch of stuff about being a parent, having a baby, and of course, I have horrible life advice from my older sister, Megan. You can find me on Twitter at @KateCasey. I love to tweet during shows. My Facebook page is Love and Knuckles, and I have a closed Facebook group, which you've got to get on. Just go to Reality Life with Kate Casey in the search bar. And my Instagram is at @KateCaseyCA. I know you're probably on Instagram. You're probably looking at lots of people who have pictures of their outfits in their profile, maybe of things that they're making for dinner or of their house renovations. You need to come over to my Instagram and watch me make fun of celebrities and my children. So as always, I'm wishing you guys a great week. I have to tell you, I'm working on some unbelievable upcoming episodes, including one true crime one about Lacey Peterson, the series that was on A&E. So make sure you subscribe to the show, go to all the sites, follow me on social media, and as always, I am laughing, thinking about the next episode. Thanks again. Bye.
Welcome to the small town of Chinook, where faith runs deep and secrets run deeper. In this new thriller, available exclusively on Wondery Plus, religion and crime collide when a gruesome murder rocks the isolated Montana community. Everyone is quick to point their fingers at a drug-addicted teenager, but local deputy Ruth Vogel isn't convinced. She suspects connections to a powerful religious group. Enter federal agent V.B. Loreau, who has been investigating a local church for possible criminal activity. The pair form an unlikely partnership to catch the killer, unearthing secrets that leave Ruth torn between her duty to the law, her religious convictions, and her very own family. But something more sinister than murder is afoot, and someone is watching Ruth. With an all-star cast led by Emmy nominee Sanaa Lathan and Star Wars Kelly Marie Tran, Chinook is available exclusively and ad-free on Wondery Plus. Join Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.